If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Hey!
This is JJ and Alex.
I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied.
As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome in on a Wednesday, hump day. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Alex Keery out again today. The big chair, Sam Farnsworth. It's a KSL Sports Live takeover.
Look out.
TV hey guys on the radio.
This could get dangerous.
We're going to do a lot of Googling today with Sam in the building.
Indeed.
Sam, this will be fun.
I'm looking forward
to
this.
Let's go. 3 hours or 4 hours, sorry, of radio.
I was talking to Jeremy a little earlier how sometimes I just have too much fun on Sundays. I'll start laughing on the air or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in our...
Well, things could get really weird today.
I don't think Alex is coming back, by the way.
Why would he?
I know.
He's right. Probably sitting on some beach somewhere. Paternity leave isn't what it used to be. I got four kids. I never had paternity leave.
Me neither.
What's up with that?
They're like, hey, you got to use up all of your PTO first, and then unpaid leave.
I want back paternity leave. Hey, I got four kids.
Can we apply for that?
What do you get? Like, how much? You get like a month? What do you get?
Forever.
I don't even know.
They say, how much do you need?
Like, suddenly these guys, their wife has a baby and they get time off?
They're recovering too. Okay?
We men have become soft. We fathers have become soft.
Everybody!
Come on now. All right, you know what? They're going to give it to you, Alex. Enjoy it. We'll have fun while you're not here. A lot of great things to talk about. Big trade in the NFL today. We'll get to that at 3:30 and 5:30 in the NFL Blitz. BYU spring football's over. We've got Mitch Harper on the show to talk about that. An injury up on the hill for the University of Utah. How will that impact the Utah defense? We've got a Utah spring football update coming up as well. And a lot of players in college basketball going portaling, especially in Logan. We got an update on that. Utah State Aggies might look a lot different next year, or maybe they'll find a way to keep these guys and reel them back in.
It's got to be item of business number one.
I think so, in our new world of NIL and transfer portal in college hoops. But we're going to get started with the Utah Jazz. It's the cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Three ball for Sensabaugh on the left side. He's got 22 and six threes for Bryce.
JJ and Alex brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Jazz fans need a boost right now.
Yes.
Probably not a G2G Bar type of boost, but maybe, you know what? Maybe
an injection of hope.
Where can you buy those?
Can you get a prescription?
Do you find them in the refrigerated section of the grocery store? Because Jazz fans need that in bulk right now. An injection of hope would be nice. There's a little bit. There's a little bit of that. And we just heard David Locke on the call, who will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour, by the way. We're excited to have the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, on at 5 o'clock. That's coming up. You can look forward to that. But he had the call there, and right now we're watching the rookies. It's like, okay, well, Bryce Sensabaugh, show us what you got. Taylor Hendricks, show us what you got. And Sam, the last two games, I'm liking what I see.
It's all about the youth, right? And this is a part of the process when we talk about the rebuild. It's like that word just triggers the gag reflex, right? But it's like
rebuild, patience, process.
Exactly.
Gross.
But they had to get to this point at some point this season. They had three first-round draft picks. You had to get to the point sometime this season where these guys were going to be logging some major minutes to see how they fit into what Will Hardy does, to see how they could fit into a potential rotation, and to see what they're actually capable of doing. And we're starting to get those glimpses. Obviously, Keontae George has been a part of it almost since the beginning. And he's shown that he could potentially be that leader in the backcourt moving forward. But Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh, they've been a little more of the question marks. What are we going to get out of these guys moving forward beyond this year? Well, in these past couple weeks, we're getting more of a glimpse, I think, especially from Bryce Sensabaugh. You know, he's proven that he can be a shooter, that he can be a scorer. Don't know if that ever means that one day he'll be the number one option or even the number two option, but he's proven that when he's got the ball in his hands, he can do that. He can convert, put points on the board, especially from beyond the arc. He did that again last night. But the big question, I think, when you look at just the overall roster, and you're talking about, you know, Justin Zanuck talked about it a month or so ago, about they want to get into the championship window. And then once they're there, they want to keep it open for 3, 4, 5 years, right? So how many of these guys on the current roster are going to be pieces that get you into that championship window? I think that's one of the big questions. And they're hopefully getting these answers right now by playing these young guys now.
Bryce Sensabaugh, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He didn't just score. He got some rebounds. He did a lot of good there. And 6 of 9 from 3. That's pretty darn good. And then Taylor Hendricks, 18 points, 4 of 6 from 3. This is back-to-back games where Sensabaugh scored 22 and led the Jazz in scoring, and Hendricks has scored 18, and they both shot the ball well from the three-point line. It's really fascinating, and that's what you're looking at right now. Well, we got 6 games left in the season. That's what you're watching. That's what you're following. These guys, their development, can they continue to put up these kind of numbers? Because the Jazz have to make this evaluation. You got possibly three more rookies coming on board next year. Obviously, they're angling right now to keep that first-round pick next year and not convey to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I think we got their answer there on what the Jazz prefer to do with that. Otherwise, they'd be trying to win games right now.
Right.
There would be no incentive to lose these games. But they're most likely going to keep that right now. And the 8th worst record looks pretty lottery safe. I don't think they're going to lose 3 spots. They got to be top 10 protected. So the Jazz would have that first pick. It's going to be a top 10 pick. And then they have the two other pick, the early second round and the late first round. That early second round has first round value, as we know, with the benefit of not having to pay out a guaranteed contract. So, and there's going to be a lot of good talent, like a guy like Dylan Jones could be on the board there. You know what I mean? There's like really good players in this draft that could be at that spot. This draft, we've heard different things about it. I don't remember where I saw it yesterday. Somebody saying this could be the worst draft ever. I mean, I can't, other than because I know Dylan Jones is, because I've sat down and talked to him and got to know him a little bit. I know he's in the draft, but I couldn't tell you. Right. And I have to do my homework. I'm not in that mode yet. Forgive me. But I need to go do some study up on this draft. Right. But usually, like last year, we all knew who Victor Wembanyama was, and we knew the Thompson brothers. We knew who the guys were in that draft because the draft was so good. We knew who Keontae George and Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh were because we were really fascinated with what was and it looks to be a great draft. Bryce Sensabaugh was picked in the 20s. He's showing really good value. Keontae George at number 16, obviously showing great value in spots where you don't normally get a lot of value in the draft. So the draft that we thought was good is looking pretty good so far in year one. If next year's draft is bad, I don't know, but I can't name the top 5 guys in next year's draft. Forgive me. I can't.
I mean, the only names I've been paying attention to are the ones that pop up in mocks for the Jazz, right? And yet half the time I'm like, okay, hold on. I gotta learn more about this guy because I don't know much about him. I think I saw Filipowski linked to the Jazz once.
Okay.
The only thing I can think of about him is when he got tripped by the Wake Forest fan when they stormed the court. You know what I mean? So it's like, come on. What I do like about the Jazz not conveying the pick, I guess, is they just increase their odds of finding talent, finding a good player, right? And what we know about the NBA draft year in and year out is that the players that are taken in the draft, you're only going to end up with a handful of them that are going to become potential perennial all-stars, that are going to become on that, you know, that level. You might find one or two in a given draft that'll be a Hall of Famer someday. It's just, you know, that's what history tells us. And every now and then there's a loaded draft, and maybe last year's is that draft.
Yeah.
We'll see. But we also know that late in the draft, you can find great talent like, Donovan Mitchell in the mid-round or Giannis Antetokounmpo later in the round, right? There's still going to be talent And the Jazz are increasing their odds by retaining these picks and having three opportunities potentially again this year to add to their roster. And what it means is that oftentimes, you got to have a little more patience. It's going to take a little bit longer. But the history, the track record that Danny Ainge has, that Justin Zanuck have at finding talent, you got to believe in that if you're a Jazz fan right now and hope that they're doing their jobs.
That's the sunshine you can take from that in an otherwise dark and stormy day, because here's the truth about today. The Jazz have lost 10 straight games.
Oof.
That is the worst Jazz losing streak in 42 years. You got to go back to the 1981-82 season since the Jazz have lost 10 straight. They even lost 9 straight, I think, the following season, 82-83. Which was the last year before they made the playoffs and really turned the franchise around and became, what we know today and the success that they had during those 80s years. But that was a rough time in Jazz history as well, when there wasn't a lot of hope, there wasn't a lot of excitement and reason to be excited, and they were going through a tough time. And it kind of feels like that's what's going on right now. Is as Karl Malone says, losing suck.
Yeah.
And this suck. This ain't fun. But there's silver linings in it if you're looking for them, and you can find that the rookies are that silver lining. There's a lot of hope with those guys.
You know what's great about Jazz fans, though? Even in the midst of this, the Delta Center still fills up. They still love to watch their team. They still want to see. They want to have reasons to hope, right?
They love NBA basketball, and while the Jazz haven't been winning these games, last night was – they weren't competitive last night. They didn't play well last night as a team. But there's been plenty of games, Sam, where we know they're not going to win, but they've made them fun.
Yeah.
They had a nice game against the Timberwolves. You remember that game, and there's been a number of games where they've been really competitive, and it's been fun till the end. They've been entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a good product to watch, and they're playing some of the best teams in the NBA right now. It's just tough to get all in and be invested on a team that's not winning right now. You have to have that big picture approach, and that's – I don't like telling anybody that you got to do this, you got to do that. Like telling fans, you got to be patient. I mean, that's condescending. I'm not going to tell anybody right now listening, you got to be patient. Be miserable. This stinks. It's not fun losing. It's not fun watching this Jazz franchise that's got so much tradition of winning and been to so many playoff trips. And I think you'd love to have deeper playoff runs, and I think that's what's going on right now. And that's the thought process you have to have, is short-term pain, long-term gain, and that's the message that Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck are sharing, is we're trying to build a championship here, and unfortunately you got to tear some stuff down sometime to build it back up the right way. It was clear, and Donovan Mitchell in town last night was another reminder.
Right.
Sam, I catch myself doing this. When things were good, when Donovan was here, when Rudy and all that, and Joe Ingles and Mike Conley, even Jordan Clarkson, and the whole group, those playoff series wins were fun. And there was just a lot of hope and fun with that group. And I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
Because it was fun to cover a lot of great guys. Even though Donovan is not here anymore, I never would say anything negative about Donovan Mitchell. He was great. He was great to us. He was just great to fans. He was great to everybody here. He just wanted something different. That's okay. Rudy Gobert didn't ask to be traded.
Right.
He still has his home here. When the Timberwolves were here, they were here for 3 days. They had 2 back-to-back games here. The Timberwolves went to his house and had dinner.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert still lives here, guys. I'm sure he has other places. He can live wherever he wants, but he still chooses to keep a home here. There was a special connection for a moment in time with that group, and obviously it faded and things didn't end the way everybody wanted to. And it was the right decision to make, but having Donovan last night here reminded me how much fun that was.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be maybe it wouldn't be that bad to just see how that would have all played out.
Right.
Which is crazy talk, because that was not – the right decision was made, but – I can't help but think, man, I wish
was this
wish
the last
Donovan
year?
Was still
would this
here.
Would have been the last year of his contract? I can't remember if it was
year
or next
year. He's still got next year.
Next year would that
with the Cavs. So that's going to become the Cavaliers' problem next year. And they're already seeing the – you saw this week.
Yeah.
The owner, Dan Gilbert's coming out and saying, You know, we really feel strongly we're going to be able to keep Donovan Mitchell. We're going to get him to an extension. And then that, so, of course, the media's, we're doing our job. We're going to go ask Donovan Mitchell, what do you think of Dan Gilbert's comments? Are you going to come back? And are you interested in that extension? And Donovan didn't want to talk about that because we all know what he's doing. Everybody here in Salt Lake knows.
Bigger.
He has a certain place where he wants to go. He's going to go there.
Yep.
And he's going to wait out this extension. He signed it because it was a massive amount of money.
Yeah.
He's not crazy or dumb.
Nope.
And at the end of that contract, he was going to go back to New York to play for one of the two franchises that are there. We all know this. Why doesn't Dan Gilbert know this?
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's the Cavaliers'
Shocker.
Problem. Again, the Jazz, Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, Ryan Smith, they made the right decision.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and we see this in life, making the right decision can be hard and painful,
yeah,
and doesn't bring instant gratification.
No.
If we're being honest here, Sam, I don't think we should just be focused on the 2024 draft. I think we should also be focused on the 2025 draft.
Exactly. How many picks did they pick up in those two trades?
Right? Exactly.
These are the drafts we need to look ahead to
as
well.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't think unless something drastic happens in the offseason. And me and Sly talked about yesterday, we're trying to go through and like, who's that player in the league that you could jar loose
from
a team that's struggling that might do a teardown like the Jazz have done, and other than the Hawks, and I don't want their trash.
Yeah.
Sorry, Trey's really good. Trey is just too expensive.
Yeah.
Okay? And DeJounte Murray is too expensive. Okay? You're not going to win a championship with those guys being your number one highest paid player. It's not going to happen. Which is why the Hawks would be tearing it down.
Yep.
So going and taking the Hawks players and putting them on your roster makes you the 10th best team in the West, basically.
Right.
At best. That's not the path to go. But we had this discussion about what player out there could you jar loose, and we had some ideas. I'm thinking like, well, LaMelo Ball, if he's healthy, maybe the Hornets are trying to get rid of him, but is that your solution to pair with Lauri Markkanen? I don't know.
No.
He had Cam Thomas with the Nets, who's a nice player. A 6'3 guard who can light it up and score. Again, the Nets, how are they doing? It's like you can't really find that answer out there that you could jar loose with the trade. So here's the brutal truth, and I hate having to say this. The Jazz are going to stink again next year.
Probably. They should, right? I mean, there's no reason to believe they're going to be a lot better than they were. You know, I think going to that question of who would they jar, there isn't an answer to that, number one. Number two, the type of player you want, the closest they got to maybe that was when there was those rumors of potentially a guy like Luka Doncic becoming available. And you know what I mean? And then you could throw all those. That's
maybe he's not happy in Dallas.
That's,
they're not winning
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, that's,
maybe he doesn't like Kyrie. We're making stuff up in our head. Coming up with some reason.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the kind of guy that the Jazz would have to, I would imagine that's the kind of guy you want to try to target. Now, there's not that many of those out there,
yeah.
Especially that many of those that are going to become available. And so you're right. It's going to be another year where the Jazz aren't going to be a playoff team, most likely. Maybe they'll be on that play-in bubble. I just don't see it right now.
Jazz fans, can you do another year of this? Can you do it? You have it in you?
There's just got to be some moves made along the way. My fans speaking, I'm okay with it, but you've got to give me some bait along the way to believe. Be like, okay, I see where they're going with this. Hey, I can be patient, but you got to show me where you're going with this. And I don't know if that means Danny Ainge needs to be a little more vocal about what the plan is. Obviously, you're going to hold those cards close to the vest, right? You're not going to reveal too much of what they're trying to do. But if they can give a little something every now and then to get you on board. I don't think Jazz fans ever get off board, but it's you don't want to risk getting to that point either.
I just don't know, man. It's just so hard. Again, right decision, but it's not easy.
No.
And what's going on isn't easy. Here's the truth. I'm just being honest here over the airwaves. Unless something drastic or crazy comes available that the Jazz could acquire, you're not going to turn this thing around to the point where you're going to be able to be a contender next year. So why try to be? Why the 2025 draft's going to be great. Everyone's talking about Cooper Flagg.
Right.
Who's going to go to Duke? And you're watching film of him playing at Monverde Academy, and you're like, oh my gosh, this kid's really good. Is it worth it? I don't know, man. That's where you're at right now. But because the Jazz, in order to become a contender to win that championship, here's the honest truth. You go over time, Sam, and you go through history, and outside of a couple blips on the radar, you got to have one of the top five or top three players in the league
yep.
on your roster to win a championship.
Yeah.
Go back and try to find 1 year where the best player in the league or one of the top five players in the league or a team with two of the top 10 players
yeah.
didn't win a championship.
Right.
I mean,
I think the closest thing to that might have been Detroit, but I still think they probably had two of the top 10. So you had a great defensive player in Ben Wallace.
Two things about that year that everyone talks about. Mm-hmm. They actually had four All-Stars in it.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Rip Hamilton, and Chauncey Billups, yeah. and a good coach in Larry Brown, and a really good bench. Memo Okur was on the bench
right.
for that team.
Yeah.
We know how good Memo was.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the bench of that championship team. And they should have got crushed by the Lakers, who had the most talented team, but they had internal strife.
Yeah.
And they had old guys that got hurt, Karl Malone. And Karl Malone hitting on Kobe's wife. Did I say that over the air?
Oops.
Anyway. Oops. There was some weird stuff going on in the locker room for that team.
Yeah,
okay?
There was.
The Lakers should have won that and should have won four straight championships, but they self-imploded.
Yeah.
So that's – everyone brings up that Detroit team. Oh, you can win as a team, blah, blah, blah. No.
They were a really good team, though.
Yes, they were. But the best team actually they actually imploded.
Yeah.
And then you had the Spurs teams that everyone talks about Spurs. Well, that's a small market team, but they had Tim Duncan.
They had great players.
One of the greatest of all time.
Hall of Famers.
Monta Ginobili and Tony Parker. And then
yeah.
they always had nice complimentary pieces. Guys like Michael Finley.
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on with they were able to pick up, you know, older free agent guys that wanted to win a championship.
Yep.
Keep going through these teams, like the Miami Heat teams with LeBron. You know, Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat. They had Shaq and Dwayne and really good players on those teams. And, you know, the Dallas team that won it. They had Dirk and Jason Kidd.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then they had really good players. They have Sean Marion on the team. I mean, they were really, really, really good with a lot of great veteran star players. And that continues with the Warriors dynasty. And now we're with this team with the Denver Nuggets who has Nikola Jokic, who is unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
And Jamal Murray, I don't know how he's never been an all-star. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Aaron Gordon's
Aaron
awesome.
Gordon's been balling
they have
out
such
there.
The they have such a great constructed roster.
Mm-hmm.
They should be winning two or three more championships. So
feels like it.
In order to win an NBA championship, you have to have an MVP caliber player. And you look what the Thunder are doing right now. That's what the Jazz want to become, but they had, you know, they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in a trade where they had to trade a star for him. He developed. He became what he is today. But the Thunder went through 4 years of pain, right?
And how many of these
four years?
Yeah. And how many of these championship teams? So you just listed off the Nuggets. All those guys are homegrown, right? Most of them. I mean, they find the compliments in free agency.
They made a trade
right?
for Aaron Gordon.
Right. He's a compliment.
Again, a player they plucked away from a team that was struggling and needed to rebuild.
Jamal, Michael Porter Jr., the MVP. All these guys are guys that they found in the draft. And it didn't happen overnight. It took 5, 6, 7 years.
Exactly.
But they got there. And now they're a perennial contender, one of the top teams in the league with a guy who should be in the MVP competition every single season, too. It could be a while here in Utah.
How about the team that Danny Ainge built with the Celtics?
Exactly. Same thing.
You know, that team's still rolling with Jason Tatum,
one of the best teams
Brown.
In the East. Best team in the NBA, right?
And after Danny Ainge left, they've made some additions that have helped them get even better with White and Porzingis and they got it rolling, but they found the core, and that took time.
It does.
That didn't happen overnight. That happened a little faster than what you've seen with the Nuggets, but not much. Yeah, it's hard. It's going to take a while. It's painful. So just got to be patient, and I hate that. It just no one wants to hear that.
The patient word sucks.
That's where it is, and we're sitting here patient as we get ready to watch these last six games of the season. We didn't even get to Sam Merrill. We'll get to that later on in the show. It was fun to see him light things up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We'll talk about him later on in the show, but we got to take a break right now. When we come back, big trade in the NFL today. How does that impact things in the Super Bowl race? I think it does. I think it has a huge impact. We'll get that and more on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex.
Oh, yeah.
with the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I just want to listen to the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk
right
now.
Keep it going. The Beastie Boys might bring some joy to jazz fans, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's giving me joy right now. JJ and Alex. Jeremiah Jensen. Sam Farnsworth in for Alex Keery today and for the rest of the week.
Buckle up. I stole that one. Sorry. Sorry, Bowler.
You can't do that, Sam.
I know. My bad. My bad.
There's a copyright on
that. Does he have that trademarked?
You're going to have to pay Bowler a substantial fee. This hour of JJ and Alex brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your local financial fiduciary. Give them a call at 801-899-7600 or visit their website at trajanwealth.com. Don't put off your retirement planning. And they do a lot of other things, too. So give them a call if you need help with that. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Later in the week, we have Hercules Credit Union here in studio. We look forward to that. A great partner. We're excited to partner with them on this venture. There's so many, Sam, you get your kids in youth sports mm-hmm. right now. There's just so many great people out there that are doing so many great things. I've got my 7-year-old now who's got coaches, and I appreciate them volunteering to help teach him how to play these sports. I can't be there all the time, and I can't be there to do it. And so I appreciate that they are taking their mm-hmm. time out of their schedule to do it. So thank you all to all of you out there, and we hopefully will nominate one in particular and give him an award on Thursday. All right. Big bomb dropped this morning in the NFL.
Ooh.
Woke up to it, and you know, whenever you see these trades, you're kind of like, is this real? Is somebody faking? Did somebody make this up?
Is this Adam Schefter with A-D-A-M-N?
With two Fs?
Yeah.
Adarn Schefter? No, it was not. This was real. The Buffalo Bills have traded one of their key players. In fact, one of their star players, one of the best receivers in the NFL of the last decade. Stephon Diggs is leaving Buffalo, and he's headed to the Houston Texans. So
wow.
There was, I mean, I to tell you the trade package, it's not really that important. It's some future late round picks.
Right.
So it's interesting, Sam, when we have these conversations, and I know in our group, we're going back and forth, mm-hmm. and I think Sly was in the exchange, and he's like, we're trying to wrap our head around, like, they're trading these star players for, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like a sixth-round pick in 2025?
Yeah.
Like, how is that happening? Well, it's because they're trying to move cash.
And I blame the Rudy Gobert trade. I'm sorry.
It's all
yeah.
No. Danny.
Yeah.
I blame
it's wild,
Danny
though.
Ainge.
It's wild.
Danny Ainge started all this mess in the NFL. No. apparently though, he's like, I mean, they really wanted to move him because they have like this huge cap hit because of this.
Yeah.
They didn't wait until I think it was June 1st. Mm. They would have saved that money, but they move him now. Yeah, it's a dead the dead cap hit for Diggs is $31 million.
So that's not change. You're not going to find that in your pocket.
That's a lot of money you could be paying to other players to fill out your roster, and you can't.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the Bills just wanted him off the team.
Which leads to question, you know, why, right? Where's the disconnect in the locker room? That's what my mind always goes to the locker room. Okay, what's happening in the locker room? What's his relationship like with the staff, the coaches, with his teammates? There's got to be an issue here if they wanted him off so badly. Or is it just the fact that they just believe that this isn't the makeup? This isn't the makeup to win. They've been a good AFC team. They've been a good playoff team, but they haven't gotten over the hump. Is that part of the reason why?
I think it's all of the above. I do. It's interesting. So let's look at the Texans end of this. Mm-hmm. Why did the Texans do this? All of a sudden, the Houston Texans look like
they're in business.
And like they were really nice last year. That team came out and played a lot better than anybody thought they would, and they nailed it in the draft. They picked the right guy. They've got their quarterback. They got their stud. But now they're stocking other positions. And now you're looking at their roster, and you're like, wow. If Diggs is healthy and he can approach the same level that he's been playing with, He took a step back last year. I felt like he wasn't the star and standout that he had been. But if he can play that role with the other receivers that they have in that lineup, the Houston Texans suddenly, I'm looking like, maybe they're like, maybe that's the team in the AFC.
C.J. Stroud surprised me last year. I mean, I thought he would be a good NFL quarterback. I didn't expect him to be the rookie of the year.
I knew he'd be good. I didn't know he'd be that good that fast.
Right.
I mean, he was crazy efficient. I think he went four or five games, or maybe longer, before he even threw an interception. Jeremy, you'd know better than me as a Texans fan following them. It took him forever to have an interception last year, and out of a rookie to be able to see the field that well and read defenses that well, to be that accurate and not make any mistakes like that is just pretty impressive. And so they've got their guy at quarterback, and now they're surrounding him with these players. Their defense is awesome. I love their head coach. Just they've got a lot of good things going, and now you're looking at the Texans as a contender. How do we look at the Bills now? Is their window closing? That was a team that we thought was finally going to break through and make it to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs looked vulnerable, but the Bills struggled last year. They had to go on a big win streak just to make the playoffs.
Right.
And now they've dropped all of these veteran players, especially on defense. They're not adding a lot to it. Are they trying to rebuild on the fly? What are the Bills doing?
So, you know, we talk about is the window closing? I think as long as Josh Allen's there, they've got a window. But they've got to give him the talent. I mean, Josh Allen's only 27 still.
Right.
And we've seen how long quarterbacks can last. He still probably has a decade in him in the NFL. As you know, he might have to run a little less to stop absorbing as much contact in the NFL. But at the same time, we know what kind of a quarterback Josh Allen is, how much better he potentially could still become. If he's got the right tools around him, they still have the piece. That is the piece that every team.
Right.
I mean, me and you know all too well with the Broncos. They've missed the piece. They've had a lot of great talent, but they never had the piece. The Bills still have the piece. As long as they still have the piece and Josh Allen, they've got a window. But they've got to. Okay, how are you going to replace someone like Stephon Diggs? Right. You got to give him the talent or the targets too. You got to give him a good running back that he can rely on. You know, we're a little biased. I think we like his tight end. Dalton Kincaid
could benefit greatly from this. Already had a great season, a historic season for the Bills. The best tight end season the Bills tight end has ever had, statistically. So he will benefit from it. I think that Khalil Shakir stepped up and made some amazing catches last year. A young guy is not making Stephon Diggs money.
Right.
And if you're the Bills, you can probably rebuild on the fly here pretty quickly if you draft well. And if you're looking at mock drafts, there's some really good receivers in the first round. In fact, BYU fans are familiar with Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
He's a speedster. He's fast. He's strong. He's everything you want in a receiver. There's a thought that the draft is so good at receiver, he could slip to the late first round. I think the Bills are picking 28th.
28th, I think, yeah.
So,
and so they're right there. That's right around that place. I've seen his teammate, Adonai Mitchell, in that same ballpark.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, if they don't take one there, they do have 45 early second round with this trade. They get the 45th pick in the second round now. So, and with how many receivers are there, I don't see why they couldn't find a good rookie.
If the Bills draft well and they land a guy like that can kind of replace Stephon Diggs, obviously much cheaper, and they're going to have to do that because they got $30+ million they can't spend in free agency. That money's dead. They can't spend it. So they're going to have to find young guys or guys that are cheap to fill those roles. Gabe Davis is also out too. They don't have him either. So they got all these changes at receiver. I think they picked up Curtis Samuel.
Yep, Curtis Samuel's on the roster.
But they have this big hole now at receiver, and I think if they fill that hole with somebody like Xavier Worthy, who if he has, you know, it's kind of hit or miss with rookie wide receivers sometimes. A team like the Texans we just talked about hit with Tank Dell, I mean, and Nico Collins. So you can find guys that can contribute early. I can make a case, though, Sam, that the Bills could be similar to what we saw with the Packers last year.
All right.
Okay, what did we think the Packers were going to make the playoffs last year? No.
Young roster.
But did they? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And how many all-pros were on that Packers team?
They were good. Very good. I couldn't tell you the exact number, but zero?
I don't think there were many.
Yeah.
But they were good as a team, and they played really well, and they were coached well, and you had the quarterback. Jordan Love turned out to be the guy. It took a minute. It wasn't right out of the gate, But it was good enough to get them in the playoffs, and they were one play away from knocking off the 49ers who went to the Super Bowl. So it's a possibility that the Bills could actually be doing themselves a favor by reducing their payroll, getting younger, and with their quarterback, they could be right in the mix. I don't think the Bills are going to be bad next year because, like you said, they've got the quarterback. As long as they draft well,
right,
this is actually a scenario that could work out well for them. And then you wonder, are the Texans spending too much? You're adding Stephon Diggs. Is Stephon Diggs still one of the top receivers in the league? That's, I don't know. You're pairing with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. It's a good three-headed monster at receiver. And you got Dalton Schultz at tight end. They added Danielle Hunter on the defensive side. But yep, these guys cost money. They have big contracts. And, you know, the Texans are going all in right now. I think it's the right move because you've got a young quarterback that's on a rookie contract that you can make those moves right now. But the Texans are all in. That's interesting. But don't think the Bills are going to go away. I think that they're still going to be in the mix.
Well, the Bills play in a division that I'm not saying it's an easy division. The Dolphins should be pretty good, but outside of the Dolphins, that, I mean, you've got a chance to win the division, which is an automatic spot in the playoffs.
Come on, Sam. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Aaron Rodgers and his bionic Achilles are going to be back ready
to the
go.
Top.
No, they're not.
No.
I don't buy the Jets. The Dolphins could go either way.
Yeah.
They could come back down to earth, but definitely not the Patriots. Nope. That's a long-term rebuild project.
It's the Bills' division to lose.
It could be.
I think.
Even with the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Some would argue it's Miami, but they didn't win it last year. The Bills did. So that's where we're at. Interesting trade. It's going to be interesting to watch how that all plays out. Will the Texans benefit from this, or did they go too far in money-wise? Can the Bills rebuild on the fly around Josh Allen and continue to win at a high level? We will wait, and we will see. All right, we got to take a short break. When we come back, would you rather? It's JG and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Take the zone with you wherever you go. Download the KSL Sports app to get... As JJ and Alex ask, would you rather?
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Another segment of Would You Rather. Sam, I got one for you.
Yeah.
But first, I have to say
this. I'm excited.
Join Hans and Scotty Friday from noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate their grand opening and splash into spring event, 1009 Recreation Way in North Salt Lake. Again, Hans and Scotty, Friday from noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine. Would you rather, and I'm going to get into a little NHL here.
Yes.
The dream is still alive.
You're not going to like it, but the call on the ice was correct. No ball.
Yes, it was.
NHL in Utah, I just call it a hunch. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When is it going to happen? Can't say that. Don't know. Could happen sooner or later. Let's say, for instance, this thing down in Arizona blows up, and it doesn't look good right now. Mm-hmm. They basically have to win an auction.
Yeah.
To get the property, to build an arena. Right, basically. Yeah, they're trying to buy some land off of eBay to try to keep this team in Arizona. Look, it's bad. It sucks. It doesn't look good. They're selling hope to their fans, but even if they get the bid and this development project's going to take 10 years, I think Gary Bettman's patience is running thin. Let's say this.
Be.
All right. So the Arizona Coyotes could be on the move. Let me throw this at you. Would you rather get the Arizona Coyotes to Utah next season? Like now?
Or
you don't want anything to do with that gross franchise. And you wait for an expansion team.
So, yeah, the gross franchise. But I want them now. I want it now. So if that's the option, bring it now. Because I still, even though Gary Bettman has hinted towards expansion, there's still no guarantee the NHL is going to expand down the road.
Exactly.
They're at 32 teams right now.
Right.
Why would they? Let's take the Coyotes now. Let's get NHL hockey here next year. Like, right now, and start enjoying NHL hockey. Will we have to have, I don't want to say the P word again, the patience word.
Oh.
But we're basically taking over a dumpster fire if that happens, as if I'm part of the ownership group. We are. Basically we're...
Sam's writing the check.
The state of Utah, Salt Lake City, we would be inheriting a bit of a mess. So it'll take some time to fix the mess, clean up the mess, but I think it can happen quickly. We've seen expansion teams win very quickly in the NHL. Why can't an existing team move and win very quickly too?
So if that were to happen, Ryan Smith would obviously be, you know, the SCG
right
management. They'd take over. They would buy the team. And so you'd have new ownership. You'd have an opportunity for Ryan Smith to hire the right people. And mm-hmm. then, you know, would it take time? I don't know. I think a lot of people said there's a lot of good young players in that organization. They just, it's been weird. And I think that a new place, a new home where they know they're going to be for a long, long time, new ownership, new everything, new place, a new arena in the works. We've already had that approved.
Seen the renderings and
we're
everything.
We're full go on that. Yep. There's nothing to stop that train now. I'm just saying right now, the NHL train, it's on its way here to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll say this. I think the bad situation sometimes is contagious with the way the teams play. It doesn't mean the team's that bad. So, like, they've been playing in a college arena, 4,000-seat yeah. arena for how many, like, two seasons now?
How much is all that stuff impacting the actual performance on the ice?
I think it probably does. Yeah. And if you want to take it to the major league level, look at the disaster in Oakland and how bad the A's are playing, too, and how bad, you know, and obviously there's an ownership issue there, too. But same with Arizona. So the situation, it's like you're not going to take the Lakers and stick them in a college gym, a 3,000 seat, like a WCC gym or something, and say, hey, good luck. You know, I just feel like the situation isn't an environment where championship winning can be bred, so to speak.
Right.
Get them out of there, get them in a better situation, and I think things can get fixed quickly. It's like getting them I don't know, some antibiotics or something to get it all fixed.
You just need to give him a little penicillin.
That's right.
Penicillin, and the team will be just good to go, back to normal. I think bring him here, Ryan Smith, buy the team, bring him here, start the process, get him here now, get him here next year so they have an arena with 15,000-plus seats to play in, get the hype, and this community will rally around this team. It'll bring out the best in them, and then they'll have time to figure out how to build something special with the franchise. But I think I've heard even Ryan Smith has publicly said he would prefer the expansion route
because right.
he admires what what they've done in Vegas and what they've done in Seattle mm-hmm. and how exciting that would be. And the benefit of the way the NHL does the expansion draft is it is very it's not as difficult as it has been in other sports to build a great team quickly, but you just don't wait. The opportunity, if it's there, and I think
take it.
Things are happening, and I think things could be there, you go get it. Go get the Arizona Coyotes, bring them here. You can even rebrand. I don't know what they want to do with
rebrand.
That.
Definitely rebrand.
I don't know if you want to be the Utah Coyotes.
Whatever you want it to be. I just don't want it to be Coyotes. I want new colors, new scheme, new uniform, new name.
We're all Team Yeti just, here. We're all about the Yetis. So whatever you want to call it. Rebuild it. Build it up. Make it a Utah thing.
Yes.
And I think that you do it. You don't wait. And I feel like something's in the works. That's all I'm going to say.
Get it done. And you know what? You know what irks me? I see the social media trolls out there, the diehard Arizona fans like, hey, you know, the deal has been done. The land deal has been done.
No, it's
and then you
not.
Click on the name, and it's like someone with 85 followers or something. You know, it's like, come on.
Clown show.
Quit hanging on to nothing.
Yeah, it stinks. I hate seeing teams move. It stinks for Arizona. But, man, it's going to be awesome here if it happens to have a team here. I don't care if it's the Coyotes or expansion or whatever. To have the NHL in Utah would be a dream. So looking forward to that. Hope that's the case. All right, we're going to take a short break on JG and Alex coming up. We're going to dig into spring football. I would love to sit in here and get Sam's thoughts on where the Cougars certainly currently stand, what we're looking forward to in the fall, the quarterback race, everything about BYU football. We'll dig into that and more coming up next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.